Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
First to the political junkie, Ken Rudin. Welcome back, Ken. How are you?
Good morning, Carrie. How are you?
I'm good. We're both dry. We don't live in hurricane zones, so that's a good thing, isn't it?
Oh, yes, it is. But I do have, I mean, if I want to give, if I have time for one quick personal story.
You do.
My son proposed to his girlfriend Monday in the Dominican Republic on Monday on Labor Day. And then 3 days later, they were socked by Hurricane Irma.
My gosh.
And so wow. they were stranded for days, oh. days of days and days of planes being canceled. They didn't get out until Sunday night. And then my mom is in South Florida with no power at all, so it's almost impossible getting in touch with her. And Sunday was her birthday, so it's been a lovely day in the Rudin family.
Wow, yeah. I guess this is testing your son's impending marriage, right? I mean, how do they handle adversity, right, in this young relationship?
Exactly, but the fact that he actually proposed underwater while they were snorkeling, so he actually did.
Did he really? Oh my
gosh. He did. So I'm thinking that maybe later in the marriage she could say to him, "Not tonight, honey. I have a haddock."
Ken, you were just looking for a chance. Ken Rudin is with us.
There are always chances.
Bad jokes notwithstanding, if you have questions for him about politics, what's happening inside the Trump White House, why Chuck and Nancy are Trump's new best friends, 651-227-6000, 800-242-2828, and on Twitter at Carrie NPR. Let's talk about Chuck and Nancy. So in some ways, Ken, this looks like there wasn't a lot of strategy behind it, that this deal that the president cut with them. It looks almost impulsive. Now, what are you hearing in Washington about this?
Well, look, Donald Trump is impulsive. He really doesn't have any political loyalty or ideological loyalty. He always talks about the art of the deal, and this was an opportunity to do a deal. There are many Republicans who did not want to combine hurricane relief with raising the debt ceiling because of philosophical reasons. They just don't like raising the debt ceiling without some kind of a cut in spending and things like that. So. President Trump took a deal when he saw it, and Chuck and Nancy, as you point out, Chuck Schumer, the Senate Minority Leader, and Nancy Pelosi, the Democratic leader in the House, offered him a deal where they could have a combination of 3 months extension of the debt ceiling and funding the government and hurricane relief as well. And so instead of until December, instead of September 30th, it's now extended to December 8th. And Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell, the Republican leaders, have been caught flat-footed. But, the government will be funded for 3 more months, and Donald Trump got his deal.
I guess, so you're saying it does look impulsive. And so does it really portend anything for, future deals with the Democrats? Is Trump signaling anything meaningful here?
Well, I wonder about that. I mean, of course, once upon a time, he was a pro-choice and gave money to Hillary Clinton and Nancy Pelosi and other Democrats, Chuck Schumer. So who knows? But it was also interesting to also watch Steve Bannon on 60 Minutes on Sunday night on CBS talk about how the real problems for Donald Trump are the Mitch McConnells and the Paul Ryans in the world. So I wonder if maybe the strategy is to minimize or marginalize Republican leaders and go after Democrats, even as he denounces Democrats left and right or left and left when he's tweeting. But I think it seems like more of his disgust is with the Republican establishment. He and his Steve Bannon are talking about primary challenges to Bob Corker and Jeff Flake and Dean Heller and other Republicans up in 2018. So I think there's no real ideological philosophy that Donald Trump has. He just wants to win when he can win. And if it means tweaking and tormenting Republicans, so be it.
Okay, so we have a call for you about that Bannon interview to Susanna in St. Louis Park. Susanna, I missed the interview. So what is it you want to know from Ken about that?
Well, it's kind of a general question. to Mr. Rudin. What he thought of the interview. I listened to part of it on Charlie Rose last night, and I was just like, oh, this is just like listening to Donald Trump. Everything is wonderful and great, and they're all right, and blah, blah, blah. So maybe I shouldn't talk like that on the radio. Anyhow.
That's fine.
So what did Mr. Rudin think of the interview?
Yeah, overall, Ken.
I was fascinated by it. Actually, I think for the 25 or 30 minutes it was on, I did not blink. And I think that Steve Bannon gave a full-throated support and endorsement of the Trump presidency more than the president ever could have. I think it's interesting that his real, as I pointed out, Steve Bannon's real critics, the criticism he lodged during the debate were against fellow Republicans. He called the Bush regime, the George W. Bush regime, and mentioning Condi Rice and Cheney and Bush by name, he called them idiots. He said that McConnell and Ryan, the Republican leaders in the Senate and House, is really the swamp that we're trying to get out. And so, in a matter of fact, he said that these Republicans are trying to nullify the 2016 election because, you know, they talked for months, if not years, about replacing and repealing the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, and yet when they had the chance, they didn't do it. Now, of course, there was some criticism of President Trump, not much of it by Steve Bannon, some of it. He said the firing of James Comey of the FBI was the worst political mistake he made. And in some regards, that is absolutely correct, given the fact that the dismissal of Comey led to the special counsel of Robert Mueller, and which may not have happened if Comey was still there. So I agree with that. But he also talked about the fact that, you know, there are so many things that the Republicans in Congress are doing wrong that that Donald Trump, it's really Donald Trump whose leadership has been a success. It's the Republicans in Congress who have been the failures.
You know, in some ways, Ken, and I know this isn't an original thought, Bannon is probably much better suited to where he is than where he was.
Well, he talked about that. He said that as a federal employee, I'm not about to bash the Jared Kushners of the world, but on the outside looking in, he certainly did that. And as a matter of fact, Kushner and H.R. McMaster, the National Security Advisor, are his targets. And he also criticized the president for almost punting on the DACA decision. He said that giving 6 months, basically, this, knowing Congress the way I know Congress, he said that they may not even come up with a deal regarding what to do about the DACA recipients and the people in the DACA program in 6 months. What I would have done is get rid of the program immediately, Steve Bannon is saying, because there is no path to citizenship. They are here illegally, and that's that. So it was a full-throated support for nationalism and conservatism, far more articulate, I thought, than the president has ever been able to do.
For our listeners, we will be talking about DACA and the politics of it on Thursday at 9. A call here for you, Ken, from Catherine in San Francisco. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Carrie. My question was about how Democrats across the country are responding to Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer's deal with Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I know, especially out here, even in Nancy Pelosi's district, there's a lot of tension from Democrats towards the old party leadership.
Uh-huh.
And I was kind of wondering how this is playing in.
Yeah, this is a good question from Catherine here, because I was asking about the Republicans, but how do the Democrats feel?
It's a great question. I have not seen reaction from Democrats, but of course there are some, and we've seen that especially in the wake of the failure of the Democrats to win any of the special elections that we saw during this spring, you know, opportunities for Democrats to pick up seats, and they didn't do so. And they said it's time for new leadership, that Nancy Pelosi in her mid-70s, Steny Hoyer in her number two in the House in his mid-70s, Bernie Sanders in his early mid-70s. There's a talk about new leadership, the Kamala Harris's, the Cory Booker's, the Kirsten Gillibrand's of the world, and make way for this new blood on the Democratic Party. But right now, if the Democrats can get a deal, they haven't been too successful in anything, given the fact that the Republicans control the House, the White House, and the Senate. The fact that Chuck and Nancy, as President Trump called them, was able to work out this deal with him, I think many Democrats in Congress are pleased with it. although Mitch McConnell was quoted in today's New York Times saying, I think you're prematurely excited about this, and it may come back to bite you politically in the end.
Ken, every time I hear Chuck and Nancy, I think Sid and Nancy. Do you? Are we dating ourselves?
Well,
all right. You don't have to answer that. Here's a question for you.
You're right.
I had 6th District Congressman Tom Emmer in the studio yesterday, and we were talking about tax reform. But in the middle of the conversation, he started talking about what he thinks is a vacuum of leadership in Washington and around the world. And when I said, well, that's puzzling, you've got a Republican president and Republicans running the House and Senate, he really didn't address that specifically. But it made me wonder if there are Republicans who are looking at the way Ryan and McConnell and Trump, although Emmer's been a big supporter of Trump's, are running things and are pretty dissatisfied with that.
Well, I think there's, absolutely, just as Catherine talked about some dissatisfaction in the Democratic leaders, there is that on the Republican side. You mentioned that you said the words that even though the Republicans control the House and Senate, but they don't really control it. The fact that Paul Ryan took 2 tries to get a majority to support the repeal and replace of Obamacare.
Right.
The fact that Mitch McConnell could not get 51 votes to do that. Matter of fact, of course, it was John McCain, not the Democrats, that defeated that health care overhaul. So, look, McConnell and Ryan don't have support of their constituency, of the members in the Congress and the Senate. And there are a lot of Republicans who say that maybe we need somebody who's more, this is what basically forced out John Boehner to begin with. He wasn't strong enough. He wasn't willing to stand up and fight for conservative principles. The argument for Paul Ryan was that he would be able to, and yet he has shown no more leadership than Boehner was able to, certainly on big issues like taxes and health care.
A call for you here from Murray in Beardsley, Minnesota. Hey, Murray, thanks for waiting. What do you want to know from Ken?
Good morning. Thank you. My question is, how long are we going to be stuck with Scott Pruitt based on all the wildfires in the West, the droughts in the West and Midwest, earthquakes in Oklahoma, now hurricanes that are bigger than they normally might be? And I just saw studies that showed that the denial people, that those 3% of studies have shown to have flaws. So I guess I'm concerned about the human suffering and the cost to our country with the preponderance of evidence against what Scott Pruitt stands for.
Yeah, Scott Pruitt, Ken, of course, the EPA, head of the EPA, and who has expressed varying opinions that all seem to add up that he doesn't believe in human-involved climate change.
Well, Scott Pruitt serves at the pleasure of the president, and the president of the United States is somebody who said himself that climate change is a hoax. And when Scott Pruitt said that, if you look what happened with Hurricane Harvey in Texas and Louisiana and Hurricane Irma moving up the Florida coast into Georgia and Tennessee and elsewhere, and people saying, well, wait a second, don't you think this has something to do with climate change and the fact that the oceans are warming? And Scott Pruitt said, well, it's insensitive to talk about climate change in the wake of, all these terrible things that are happening. Critics of Scott Pruitt say, if you're not going to do it now, when are you going to have this conversation?
I mean,
but
really?
Yeah. Right, exactly. So as long as you have a president and an EPA director who don't believe in climate change, then his tenure seems very secure as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, so we never seem to have a junkie segment without mention of Richard Nixon. So what is your Nixon news nugget of the day? I'm sure you've got one up your sleeve, Ken. What is it?
Well, actually, I don't. I mean, I was still focused on Sid and Nancy, but I have no Nixon. I mean, usually I talk about Nixon because there's always a Robert Mueller argument. And of course, Robert Mueller, we know, is talking to key people who used to be in the White House, including Reince Priebus and others who have left the administration. So, but I don't have a Nixon yet. Right now, I think we're more focused on these natural disasters, like more about Harvey and Irma than Dick and Pat.
Okay. I will talk to you next Monday, Ken. Thanks much, as always.
Thanks, Carrie.
Ken Rudin with us, the political junkie, usually on Mondays, unless we have huge hurricanes bearing down on American cities or something else going on. He'll be back with us next week.